So this morning, as we prepare our minds to partake of the Lord's Supper, I want to use a couple of scriptures and tell you a story that I think might help us as we think about our Lord's suffering and what it means to us, what he's done for us, and how grateful we should be. So I heard a story this week. I don't remember hearing the story before, but I thought it would be appropriate to mention this morning. So in 1731, there was a man named William Cooper. It looks like Cowper if you look him up, but they say you pronounce it Cooper. So he was born in England. His father was an Anglican chaplain, but he really didn't know a whole lot about the Bible, and his family, it sounds like, just kind of went through the religious motions, kind of religiosity, and didn't really have a real close connection with the Lord. So William Cooper was 6 years old, his mother died, and that started his lifelong struggle and battle with depression. After his mother died, his father determined that he could not be raised properly with just his father in the home, so he sent him off to a boarding school at the age of 6. And William described later that he was treated horribly there by the other children. He was bullied, and some accounts say he was even beaten by the other kids. He continued to struggle with depression. And then his brother, who he loved, died after a fall off of a horse. Throughout his life, he was engaged twice. Both engagements failed. The first one, Ashley, also Cooper, her dad broke off the engagement, so he became more depressed. The second person he was engaged to, that got broken off, and then she died. That made him more depressed. It turns out he ended up trying to commit suicide 3 times. And he was eventually admitted to an insane asylum, which at the time were very horrible places, often very dirty, unhygienic. And people were actually treated very poorly, often physically restrained. But the one he went to was run by Dr. Nathaniel Cotton. I believe it was in London. And there, the doctor took a different approach. His approach was of kindness, compassion, not restraining people unless necessary, and trying to lead them to understand about their relationship with the Lord in order to help their emotional and mental struggles. So I couldn't find this online, but the story I heard this week said that amidst his emotional turmoil, William Cooper's guilt for things he had done was leading to a lot of his depression also. And the story said that Dr. Nathaniel Cotton heard him one night in his room saying, "If only there was a fountain to wash away my sins. If only there was a fountain to wash away my sins." And so the next day, Dr. Cotton started talking with him about the Lord. And for the first time, he started reading in the New Testament. Even though his father was an Anglican chaplain, he had never read these passages. And the passage that made the most impression on him was Romans 3 in verse 24, where he finally realized that his sins and his guilt could be forgiven. Romans 3:24, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Jesus Christ, whom God set forth as a propitiation by his blood through faith to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance God had passed over the sins that were previously committed. And what form, I don't know, but he committed himself to the Lord then, And even though he continued to struggle throughout his life, he became a strong believer in the Lord, his power to save, and in teaching others. And one of his best friends was a man named John Newton, who became his preacher, who was a former slave ship captain. He ran a slave ship, and then he came to the Lord in some sense. And we know John Newton from his song, Amazing Grace, that saved a wretch like me. So after William Cooper came to understand what the Lord had done for him, and he had said, if there was only a fountain to wash away my sins, he wrote the following poem. There is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains. Dear dying Lamb, thy precious blood shall never lose its power, till all the ransomed ones of God be saved to sin no more. We'll save that one. The other verse we know, ere since by faith I saw the stream by flowing wounds supply, redeeming love has been my theme and shall be till I die. There's two lesser known verses. And in our newer songs, hymns, and spiritual songs, sometimes you see why they leave the verses out, because they put the old verses back in these hymnals, and some of the verses just aren't quite as impactful or significant. But the two other verses that are in this song are pretty powerful. So the two other verses to this poem are that the dying thief rejoiced to see that fountain in his day, and there may I, though vile as he, wash all my sins away. And finally, when this poor lisping, stammering tongue lies silent in the grave, then in a nobler, sweeter song, I'll sing thy power to save. And if you don't know that hymn, you can look at it. It's number 286. It was written as a poem by William Cooper, but it was later put to words. Some people attribute this, his asking for a fountain to cleanse his sins, from possibly Zechariah 13:1, which he may have heard at some point in his youth. And Zechariah 13:1 prophesies about 500 years or so before Jesus, about Jesus' coming, and here's what it says. In that day a fountain shall be opened for the house of David and for the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness. And that's what we have in our Lord Jesus, that despite anything we do, and I don't think anyone here has done anything as bad as John Newton, who was responsible for the kidnapping and transport of thousands of slaves, many of them dying on the trip, as was common. And he could sing Amazing Grace that saved a wretch like me. And William Cooper wrote the hymn, There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. So let's consider these thoughts. Consider what the Lord has done for us and how all of our sins are washed away in the Lord, as we partake of the fruit of the vine and the bread representing his body and his blood.